2 Corinthians 3, it says we are the epistles. I was wondering if God has any comic books in his library. You want to turn your neighbor and ask them that question just for a second? Hey, are you guys comic books?
I laugh, and I don't even know why I'm laughing. I think that's definitely a comic book.
Okay, Are you good, ready to listen? Do you want to move or stand or sit? You're good? You're good? Okay, here we go. All right. Turn to the book of Esther, chapter 1. We read here a very interesting story, the whole book of Esther. And I want to just break it into two parts. And the first part is Esther chapter 1. And many of you know the story that he had a wife. The king had a wife, and her name was... You can talk back to me. Her name was... Oh my gosh, I'm so disappointed. And what was the problem in this story in chapter 1? He had a big party that lasted 6 months. And they were eating and drinking, and it was a huge display of his royalty and his kingdom. And he wanted his beautiful wife to come in and make a presentation. Remember the story? And what did she decide?
No.
I want the ladies to explain this to me after the meeting. Okay. Like her answer was, not going to happen. Right. Not going to happen. I'm not coming. And the king had made a public appeal to her to come. And she said, I'm not coming. And he was very angry. This reminds me of some counseling that I've had here lately. He was very angry. Where was it? Verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command, brought by his eunuchs. Therefore the king was furious, and his anger burned within him. He was a king, so he knew about controlling things, deciding things, and he had authority. Except he did not have authority in this case with his wife. That made him very angry. Does that sound familiar to any of the guys in the room? Okay, there'll be special counsel in the other room afterwards. Anger management. It's quite a story, isn't it? We are talking this weekend about the inner man and the richness of our new life and abounding in the inner man, abounding in life. We had that in our pastor's retreat up in Pennsylvania. What a good time we had as we just talked about abounding. Abounding. It's so good. Christy went in to buy a new pair of shoes yesterday and here in town, right? And the salesman said to her, why are you so happy? And I get that impression from her too. How about you? Like this woman is a joyful, happy, bouncing person. Like, everything is great. You know, and he asked her twice or three times, why are you so happy? Like, don't you read the newspaper? You know? So we are unique people because we always have a reason to be abounding in our thanksgiving and in our life of faith. Pastor Jeff just shared that there's a mystery with each of us. Every one of us have Christ in us. Mm. We've lived in other countries. Many of you have lived in other countries, and we've seen it. The new birth, we've seen it. The Spirit filling somebody. You know, we have seen it. The reality, we've seen them come to Bible school and learn to live by faith, and we've seen it. Now, in this story, what's fascinating about it to me is that the man has a problem, and it's a marital problem in the beginning, but it becomes like a political problem in this chapter. Why? Because it's embarrassing to him that my wife will not obey me. And so he brought his counselors together, and they go, this is bad. This is bad. Because everybody in the empire will hear about it, and all the women in the empire will use it to disobey their parent, disobey their husbands. You know, let's look at it. Chapter 1, verse 13. Then the king said to the wise men who understood the times, for this was the king's manner toward all who knew law and justice, those closest to him being then the names of these princes are listed there. And what shall we do to Queen Vashti, verse 15, according to law, because she did not obey the command of King Ahasuerus? And so, verse 16, Memucan answered and said, she has not only wronged the king, but also all the princes, all the people who are in the provinces of King Ahasuerus. Now it becomes a big deal, right? This big thing. It's like a political thing now. And there's, yes and no, and there's power, and they decide to cancel this woman out. Mm. This sounds familiar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We in the United States of America are in a big contest, and it falls on political level. Mm-hmm. Like politically, we see the contest. Mm-hmm. That there is a problem here, and the people all have their opinion about it and what to do about it and how to handle it. And so they decide to cancel this woman out, and she's done. She's toast. Okay? She's done. So that part of the story has our interest. And you could read this chapter over and over and think about it. This is where a lot of people live. If the story ended here, we would easily understand, you know, that's all that we have. Is a disobedience. We have anger with the king, or the husband is angry. We have the political process, and we have somebody who's canceled out. And that's where the story ends. But it doesn't end there. And that's what we want to talk about.
Praise God.
There's a woman in the story whose name is Esther. And she's in the king's palace. And, well, she's going to be. And nobody knows the real story. It's about evil and getting rid of Jewish people and murder and treachery and power. But in that story, there's somebody that's sent from God. You know, that's like you and I. We are in the story of the United States of America. And in us is the reality of Christ.
Amen.
And the message and the ministry of love and the ministry of faith and the ministry of God that's in this wicked, evil world. So that's that. Okay? So I'm going to give you a minute. We'll go to part two in a minute to just kind of think about it and talk to your neighbor if you want to. And just say, could you repeat to me what he's talking about? Because I was just daydreaming about donuts.
Coffee.
Okay, go ahead. So our review was, I'm sure you were saying this to each other, that we have life that we see with right and wrong. A lot of life is right and wrong. What is right and what is wrong? But we have to go to something deeper than right and wrong.
Yeah.
Right and wrong. This is our culture today, you know, the cancel culture, you know, you were wrong, you are wrong, you are this way, you are that way, the accusations. And it's like a big part of life today. But where does it end up? Somebody in power has the control. They are able to cancel you out. Okay, so is there anything more? Yes. There's something more, and that is God. God hasn't canceled me out. God has forgiven me. God loves me. I have a life. How about these people that have been canceled? They have a life, but what kind? You move to grace, you move to Christ, you find Jesus, you find a new life. Barabbas had a new life because of Jesus. Well, I don't know if he was born again, I don't know that, but I'm saying by a model or by a type, he is free, and Jesus is crucified. And so we have Nicodemus has a new life. The woman at the well has a new life. The apostle Paul, Saul, the Pharisee, has a new life. And we also. All right, so Esther is a picture of the spider in the king's palace. You know, she's a picture of somebody who, you know, a spider in the king's palace is like up in the corner of the ceiling and insignificant and has no status in the king's palace except an insect in the corner of the room.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's like us. But keep your eye on us because God has a plan that's bigger than right and wrong.
Wow.
It's called grace.
Amen.
God. God is in a world that's very troubled and is empowered and able to hurt people and judge people. But God is in the palace to bring in a spiritual. That's Him. His grace, His love, His forgiveness. He is in the world to have Esther in the king's palace. And there she ends up stepping up to the plate, putting the accelerator or the
hammer.
In the words of Jack Wheatley.
Yes.
Put the hammer down. Okay.
Put it down.
Put it down. Like, get in the game. Like, get in the game. Realize, don't get sidetracked by chapter one. Because the story's not over. There's something for you in this life. And this life is one that is spiritual. Your prayers move mountains, but could they move the clouds in the, over Tampa? No. Did it rain for 40 days and 40 nights? You know, our prayers can move clouds and mountains. Our prayers can affect young people. Our prayers affect pulpits.
Yes.
Our prayers affect the spider. In the school board meeting in Virginia, when a teacher stood up and said, I cannot lie.
Yes.
My Christian faith does not allow me to lie. That little girl is a girl and not a boy. I cannot lie. Oh, you know. We'll destroy you. You lose your job. So he lost his job. Then he appealed and he got his job back.
Amen.
You know, because there's still some sense of, you know, common sense in this world. But, you know, even when everything goes south, you and I don't. When things are bad, it's like we are there. And this is a picture of Esther in the story. So look at chapter 4, verse 15. Then Esther told them to return this answer to Mordecai. I love this, don't we? Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so will I go to the king, which is against the law. It's against the law for me to do it, but I'm going to do it. Because, you know, we're talking about the inner man. Your inner man catches fire. You know, that's why when we get together, we have fires in our fireplace at home, and when it's going pretty well and it's time to go to bed, I separate the logs, you know. Mm-hmm. They burn out faster when they're separate in the fireplace. And I just spread them out away from each other. And I say, okay, Pastor Shabella, you got to be over there. Pastor Bob, go over here. And you will burn out. You'll burn out faster if you are separated. But if we gather, if we have spirit, if we love each other, we will be on fire. We'll be here. Taylor came up here from where, Taylor? Miami, something? Okay. And he's here, fresh for new guy in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And his brother's over here. And even Mirtha came. Mirtha came. How did that happen? Maybe God will put you in a king's palace. And you'll say, I don't belong here. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm not a leader. I'm not a hero. I don't know but I got something burning in my heart that's important to me. I cannot lie. I am not cheating. I am not stealing. I got something burning in my heart. That's important. Yeah. When it came time for her, the Vashti story is old, and everybody is bored, and disappointed, and dull, and empty, and life is like that. But no, there's an evil force at work in the dullness and the kind of dumbness that happens to people. They are dumb. They are not stirred. They're not. There's no fire. There's something missing. They don't have Christ. You and I have him. And so it came to her heart, I will go before the king, fast and pray. And she did. And you know the story, I think. Now turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we see how bad it can be. I think that would be a good subject for the next little talk with our neighbor. How bad can it be? 2 Corinthians, you love that subject. 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 16. Maybe we should skip down to, 23. 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. Translation. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more than them, but I speak as a fool. I mean, I wouldn't be saying this, but I got to make a point because you don't understand what I'm saying. Like, I'm in the game. Hammers down. I'm moving. I got it in my heart. I cannot stop. I believe in this. So to what extent? In labors more abundant, stripes above measure, prisons more frequently, and deaths often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Night and day I've been in the deep. How bad can it be? I've lost a job. I've lost a child. I've lost a house. I've lost a reputation. I've lost maybe physically and so on. How bad can it be? It is. In journeys often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, hunger and thirst, fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. All right. I would like you to think about it for a minute, that we are people who do have trouble. We do have problems, but our focus, as we'll read in a minute, our focus, we are realizing, and he prayed this, that Christ would dwell in our hearts, that we would be abounding in him. But what about the bad stuff? Bad stuff is there. And there is that. But then there is the mystery of the fellowship. So turn to 2 Corinthians 4. And we will look at this for a minute. Verse 8. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Maybe God brings us to a very narrow place for us to find him. Maybe it's very narrow. Remember Dan Foster, of course? What a precious brother. He was rock solid believer. You had what problem with his eye, his one eye was blind, whatever else, he had diabetes, he had, you know, he was resuscitated, dialysis and everything going on. That was amazing. Yeah. He's just a human being falling to pieces, yeah, and yet a human being with a ministry. Yes. Maybe in my trial is where I find the strength of the inner man. Maybe when I'm a spider in the king's palace is when Jesus says, I need you to step up. Wow. Yeah. And get, you know, be there. I'm doing something. You don't know it, but there's an evil plot to destroy the Jews. Yeah. And you are the answer to stop it. Mm-hmm. It will be stopped because of Esther. Mm-hmm. It'll be turned back because of her. Isn't that amazing? Maybe your life will affect a local high school, but you don't know how. Maybe your life will become helpful in a Sunday school ministry, but you don't know exactly how it works. But the inner man is a mystery. The spirit working in life. And the inner man saying, I can't look at what is seen, I have to look what is not seen. Mm-hmm. That's chapter 4 in verse 16. So he went through a list of his suffering here also, and then he comes to this conclusion. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. How does it happen, David? I think listening to the word, I think fellowshipping, I think being a spider in the king's palace, I think he's renewing us. That's where he wants me to be. That's my place right now. That's where I am, and he's renewing me day by day. And then when I come forward and say, I got something to do, I got to say something, or I got to be here, and I don't know how it's going to work, but God is renewing me day by day. I'm in his will. O King Agrippa, I wish you and everybody that heard me was a Christian like I am, except these chains, they were just like me. I have no shame. I'm not backing down. I am present. I am believing. The COVID thing kind of surprised me because I didn't realize that the American people could be so passive, yeah. Compliant, yeah. Indifferent, afraid, and withdrawing. Mm-hmm. But we saw that, of course, because there are people like everywhere, sheep without a shepherd. But I also saw, on the other hand, how Christians can be so much in the game, so much engaged, so much caring, and so much moving on, like a spider in a king's palace.
Yeah. Yes.
Kind of very meek and lowly, and like we're not pushy. We're not pushy, but we are present.
Wow.
We are here.
Yes.
We have something cooking.
Amen.
Inside.
Yes.
We got something going on. Amen. In our hearts. We cannot not assemble. Remember, I don't know if you saw the video in,
yes,
Baltimore with our face off with the city officials.
Yeah.
And the body cam. I mean, it was like a big deal. It was on the news and everything. And like we just said, we did everything we could to comply, and we did for a long time. We were on the rooftop. We were not meeting. We had the masks, everything. Oh, we were going along, on and on. And then it basically was just in my heart. It just said, it's over.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done. If I can go to Home Depot and it's packed with 1,000 people,
yeah,
and I drive past a liquor store and the parking lot is packed,
yeah,
then I can have a church that's,
amen,
open.
Yes.
And
yes.
Yes. You know,
yes.
Yeah. I got to tell you this little funny thing. There was a strip club in Baltimore, and the strippers, it was on the news the same time as we were. I thought it was interesting because the strip club was open because the strippers could wear masks, were wearing masks, and Greater Grace was closed down because we were wearing clothes that we didn't have any masks on.
What?
Oh my God, is the world crazy? Okay, so anyway, we can, we're going to wrap this up. Look at the verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man,
wow,
is renewed. For our light affliction, and imagine the list, and he says it's a light affliction.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of get tough, okay?
Wow.
Say that to your neighbor for a minute.
Light affliction.
Listen, stop your whining and your belly aching. Get tough enough, okay? Yeah, get tough.
Knock it off.
Hey, wait a minute. Here's a question. Is life a lot about attitude?
Yes.
It is. It's a lot about attitude. Like, be careful with your language because it might come back on you. Oh, I'm getting old. And then the next day you look in the mirror, it's like, you're really old. Well, you said the wrong thing yesterday. You said how good. You know, it's like you might end up living in what you say.
Wow.
Right? I mean, I wouldn't say it exactly like that, but you get the idea. Like, careful what you say. My affliction is a light affliction. But you've been stoned 3 times in the deep, in perils of robbers. And, yeah, it's not, that don't talk about it. That's fine. That's a light affliction.
Yeah.
It's working for me.
Yeah.
A weight of glory and something going on in my heart, And I'm fine. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You are Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Good attitude. Hey, that's like a message for Florida. For all the felons in Florida. Criminals.
And I am the chief.
Okay, hold on. Let's finish it, course. Okay, verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen.
Wow.
My medications. I see them, but I don't look at them. The imprisonment, I see it, but I'm not looking at it. I'm not looking at it. You be careful how you look at things, because they can take you down.
Yes.
Right? And the problem with Vashti and her getting canceled out, that's one thing. That's fine. That's what it is. But with Esther, she's seeing something more. And so are we. We are watching in our country actually evil collapse in itself. I think it'll be taken down by its own gravity. A lie, I think Chesterton said, the devil fell out of heaven by the weight of his own gravity.
Yes.
I mean, isn't that theologically correct in one way? He fell like lightning. I don't know who threw him out, but he was history. But I like the idea that we collapse under the weight of our own self, our own sin, that brings us down. But it's Jesus that has brought us up. And it's truth and doctrine that is able to quicken us and give us life. And we're able to be an answer in our neighborhood. In an Islamic country as a missionary, in a Hindu country as a missionary, and to have a message. But be careful not to look at the things that are seen, but to look at what is not seen. And that's verse 18. While we look not at what is seen, but at the things which are not seen. So, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Wow.
So there's a hip replacement. It is. I see it. Oh, I see it on the calendar. Oh, no. The date of the operation. It is seen, but it is temporary. That hip is temporary. And we're looking at what is not seen, which is eternal.
Praise God.
So with your neighbor for a minute, we'll finish up with that. Just talk about lighten up. Don't look at what is seen. Make a big deal about Jesus and abound in him.
Hit me again.
Great to be here. I heard it was the Sunshine State. Yet to see evidence of that. No, it's great to be here. My mother-in-law maybe doing something right now, but she's in the church here in Tampa. Bonnie. And my mother-in-law. She's amazing. She's amazing. So she's here, and then the Korea family, Carlos and Melissa. They left the Marlboro. They left Marlboro and landed in Florida. Hallelujah, Pastor Chuck and Stephanie. So it's amazing. So. It's great to be in a ministry and to be so connected and to be free in a way. Right? We travel all over. Like, I'm in the room here and just, you know, people I've known for decades and have been in different places and different times, and you know, it's so cool, right? Of course. Like, I walked in and Kathy Ryan's here. Of course. she was in Manchester with us this summer. We've been in Africa and like all this stuff. And then the Carlisle crew, or the Boiling Springs crew. Boiling Springs crew in Zambia back in 2006, maybe. We were in Zambia. I remember all the young guys. We took them in a bus ride. They wanted to go into the city. They're like, we want to go into town at night. And we're like, we don't do that. It's not an option. So we got on the bus and we rolled through like the market at nighttime. And they're like, yeah, let's go. And then they were like in the middle of the bus. So. The difference is different than Carlisle. And then the Villeneuve's in Turkey. We were in Turkey together. I visited Turkey and they were there and we had a great time. So it's I love it. And then the Gypsons.
Right? Yes. Amazing.
The Brontes. So yeah, I love it. The ministry. And to be a part of it. But greetings from Marlborough, Mass. Keep praying for the church there. It's going well. God is faithful. God is taking care. God is adding people, the right people. And I love it. Isn't that it? Like, we are so content with what God has done in our midst, and we're so content with what He's doing in our church. And to be thankful for what we have and to be moving in it, it's so good. It's so good. It would be easy for us to look around and say what we don't have. Right? And we can start comparing and be like, what am I even doing? But then when we look around, we say, oh my gosh. Like that message, Pastor Jeff, was beautiful. The books. Look at this library. Oh my gosh. Like the stories are amazing. And I didn't think we didn't quite make the comic books. We're like the cartoons in the newspaper. That's our thing. But it's amazing and to see what God has done and to see what God is doing and to be anticipating what He will do is so amazing. Romans chapter 6, if you will, turn with me. Romans chapter 6. There's options for us, and I think with this message, there's options for us in Romans chapter 6 that we could live in the flesh. We could, and we could be governed by sin. It's possible. I don't know if you've experienced it, but it's possible that we could, and it is an option for us as believers. But also, we have another option, which is so liberating. And it gives us life, right? So here in verse 11, Paul says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead. How can we reckon ourselves to be dead? Well, because Christ died, right? In the beginning of the chapter, he's saying Christ died and also you died in him. But it doesn't stop there. Christ rose from the dead, and likewise, you have the freedom to walk in the newness of life. You don't have to walk in the oldness of life. You don't have to walk in the small loop, right? Like I was thinking of that story with Vashti. Like that's a small loop where it's like, okay, I go from anger to discussion to cancellation, and it's like, okay, what's up next? Oh, I'm angry about it. We'll discuss it. We'll cancel it. What's up next? And then, like, it's a small life. It's a small loop. And I have that in me. I could be just living in my sin, and it's like a small little loop, and I go from one thing to the next. But I don't have to. Because Christ has risen, I have risen also. Like, I'm not stuck in that little tomb just rattling around with death. But I have a newness of life, and I have the freedom, and I have the option to walk in the newness of that life. Mm-hmm. And that newness is like radical. Radical. It's not polished. It's not shined. It's not reformed. But it is completely new. The inner man is a new thing. It's a new thing. Like, it's not just a retread of what I have been. But it is a new thing. And I am released from that little tomb, or I'm released from that small loop, and I have the freedom to walk with God. Thank God. And I reckon it. And I say, hey, that's mine. Reckon, this is who you are. I reckon, right? I reckon that I am not stuck in the little loop. Amen. I am not rattling around in death. But I am out, and I have a new vision of life. I have a new understanding of who God is, of who I am, of who you are. And I look at everything differently. Reckon it. Reckon it to be your own. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. How can we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin? Because verse 10 says that Christ died once once for all. He died once for all. And that he died once. But in his life, how long does he live? Forever. Likewise, reckon that to you also, sin, you have died to sin. How many times? Once for all. Right? For all sins, for all time, for all people, all. It's over. All. Now, reckon yourselves indeed dead to sin, but alive unto God. In that he lives unto God. Likewise, you, in that you are alive, you live unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so that's the reckoning. What is the fruit of this reckoning? What happens to me when I reckon this to be true? Verse 12, therefore, based on that information. Don't you love the therefores of the Bible?
Yeah.
Yes. There's a message, the throne words, therefore, yes. Pastor Steve, therefore. There's a beautiful word in its context, right? Therefore, therefore. I love this word. It leads me to some fruit of the explanation, right? Like, okay, there's a reckoning. Oh, that's good. But what do I do with it? Okay, this is it. This is the outworking of it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Do not let. Do not let. Meaning, I could if I wanted to stay in the little loop, but I don't have to. I don't have to let sin reign. I don't. But sin would like me to think that it has to reign.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that it? The devil has a counterfeit for all of this stuff. He says, no. Sin has to reign. We say, oh, really? He says, oh, it absolutely has to. We say, why? He says, because it's what you do. It's who you are.
Yeah.
That's when we need this. And we say, no. I have reckoned something different. I have accounted something different about me. Christ has put something else in me, and I am going to lean on that, and I'm going to withdraw from that. No, I'm not going to withdraw from the tomb. I'm going to withdraw from Christ and his life. Mm. So do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts. And then here, verse 13, and do not present your members as instruments of righteousness. Do not present. We could know it, right? I think it came up in the rap last night, knowing it, but then now we are living it. Oh, I know I don't have to present my body, but I do. I know I don't have to present my body to unrighteousness, but I do. But when I reckon on him, I have the freedom not to present myself to unrighteousness. But now I am free to present myself to God. I have freedom to present myself to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Thank God.
So do not let, do not present, and sin shall not.
Wow.
Sin shall not have dominion over you. Wow. Like, it's not a program, it is a reality that I live.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we love checklists. I don't know, my wife loves checklists. We have a big whiteboard in the office, and she's like, oh, I can't wait to make a checklist. Check things off. Right? Like, we could approach our faith that way and be like, all right, what do I need to do? Give me the formula, like I could read Romans 6 and be like, okay, I'm going to make a checklist out of this. No, reckon this is the reality that you have. It's not something you are, you know, it's not something you are, a program you were looking to enact, but it is the life that you have.
Wow.
And you have the freedom to live out of this.
Yes.
So reckon it to be true.
Yes.
That's it. Reckon, agree with God in it. Withdraw from it, like lean on the reality of it. When you don't feel it or see it, like we're saying, I don't see it, it doesn't add up. And God says, well, that's where the faith comes in. And I'm telling you, if you lean, you will find great substance to pushing back and supporting you and encouraging you. And the inner man is saying, yes, I can lean. Yes, I believe. And sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Grace, huh? Mm-hmm. Is it sufficient?
Amen.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know how sufficient it is.
Yes.
I don't. But I can trust it. I can trust his grace. And as I do, right? Like there's a stirring, the fire, right? Mm-hmm. The fire burns, and then the view is different. Then the experience becomes different. The actions are different. The words are different, right? So, yeah, reckon it. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that a good word?
Praise God. Amen.
Wow, what a great word. Thank you so much.